Dave, thank you so much for sitting down and just talking about this a little bit. We're really, really excited as we kind of look at what's next for us as a church. But I don't want to do that without looking and just giving thanks for the way God has used us as a church over the years.
I understand. I gave thanks a lot.
Yeah, I know you did. Thinking back to when you first started, mm-hmm. you know, maybe you thought you knew what you were getting into, but I bet there were some surprises there. What was it like to get here and get started as a church?
I was in Pennsylvania at a church, and it was a fairly large church, about 1,100 people. And the minister there left. He had actually wanted his son to come in and be the minister. They kept me because they didn't want him. I was lucky. And I thought, well, the next step is to go to a larger church and a bigger church and that. And then our church got involved in a program called Risk Evangelism. It was a program of the entire synod. And our church became one of the pilot churches. And it was called Risk for a reason. It was a 3-year program, and you took a risk to do something your church never did before in the hopes that it might attract other people and grow and bring disciples in. And I realized risk was such a vital thing for a church. So that's really what brought me here, because a guy called me up one day and said, hey, we're going to take a risk down here. We're the third smallest presbytery in the whole denomination. You want to risk with us?
I
had to take a risk. So that's how we got here. Well, when we really got down to the place, we were hoping to have 100 people to start the church.
Yeah.
In fact, that was the recommended number. And we only had 68. But these were such exciting people. Yeah. They were ready to get out of that school where they sat on hard, hard benches and sometimes on top of a freezer.
Whatever you could, yeah.
They wanted out.
Whatever's available.
They went out and they begged the presbytery. The presbytery said, whatever you guys want. Yeah. You have 68 people, great.
68 people that didn't know what journey they were on.
Had none.
Yeah, jumped in. And everything wasn't conventional, right? This wasn't, you know, there are a lot of Presbyterian churches that look a certain way. Most of them don't have stories about pastors doing crazy skits or driving through the church in go-karts or, you know.
Right.
There were some things along the way.
It was not conventional at all. I mean, our first musician was a accordion player.
Let me bring that back sometime.
Oh, yeah,
that'd be fun. Were there some low moments? I mean, it wasn't all just up and growth, but there were probably some really tough times we had to get through as a church.
There were a few tough times. A few people, about 2 years into it, questioned some of my theology.
No.
Disliked the idea that we might have women
in
pastors.
Wow, yeah.
And, you know, one day, it came to a head, and I looked out in the parking lot, and 25 people were out there having a second
meeting. Their own meeting.
And they were gone. And we were at a church of about 100 at that time. And to lose
50, a quarter of them.
Yeah, it was tough. Mm. But it was maybe God's way of pruning the church. Mm. So it would be the kind of church God wanted planted here.
Right as we finish up this campaign, we'll be right on the cusp of being 50 years.
Yep.
I mean, kind of right at that 50-year mark as a church. And man, when I look back over the 50 years and I hear the stories, I am so thankful. It is amazing how God has used this church and just impacted the community through what we've done. And now we're talking about, well, how do we look forward to the next 50 years? Like, what's God got in store? And I just want to ask you, like, when you think about that for a second, you just dream about it, what kind of things come up for you when you think, what are the next 50 years for this church?
I think they'll be exciting. I would really like to see this church be here another 150 years.
Yeah, 150. I like how you think. Yeah, that's even better.
Not 50 more, maybe 100. I would like to see that. And I think it may not look just like it is now, but this community needs a church like Advent.
Yeah.
That shows the love of God to people of all kinds in this community. So I hope it's here to do that. And maybe like we have a branch, a sister church in Arlington, there'll be another branch or another branch.
Yeah.
Who knows what God wants this church to do? They don't have to be large churches with big numbers, but they need to be places where people can grow in faith, become disciples of Christ.
Yeah.
That's what I hope for.
I love it. You know, I think about this all the time. And I think about being that church that knocked on every door. You know, I go back to that story all the time. And I keep thinking, all right, we got to keep doing that, you know, and in new ways. Because
yeah, you probably couldn't knock on doors today.
Yeah, not exactly the same. Yeah.
It'll be different.
Yeah. And I love that. God not only has another 50 years for us, he's got another 150 years for us.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. I love it.
This is a fun day, guys. This is fun to remember and celebrate who we are as a church, looking back. It's just incredible. We were going through old pictures and talking to Dave and hearing the stories and just being reminded of what God's done. And then I was just on the Arlington campus just a few minutes ago and sharing, you know, with them all the things that not only God has done, but where we're headed in the future. And that's what we're going to do over the next little bit of time together. We're going to talk about something that our elders and our staff and key leaders have been working on, some of these questions that we're going to walk through for over a year now. So I was telling the staff, we're going to go over time. That's what I told them, because, you know, I was like, I got a year's worth of stuff we got to walk through today. But it's this is an exciting time. It's exciting to see what God has done in our church. And it's exciting to see that God's not done with our church and where he's taking us next. So I want to pray for us, and then we're going to walk through this together, all right? God, we give you thanks today. Thanks that you have a vision for us that's bigger than anything we could even imagine for ourselves. God, you do that for us as individuals, and you do that for us as a community, a church together, because we're your church. God, we long to be your church. So would you speak to us today? Would you help us to dream with your kinds of dreams? Would you help us to see with your kind of eyes? This is what we pray. And then, God, would you give us the courage to run in whatever direction you call us? We pray this in your name. Amen. Well, it's exciting. We're going to talk about how we're, growth and where God's taken us. But we got to start with the bad news. There's always bad news before you get to the good news. All right. So I just want to walk you through some of the things that we've been learning. Our elders, guys, y'all are led by just unbelievable elders. And I've been here 4 years now. And we've had a few different ones as we rotate through. But just always astounded by the leadership of your elders here. And just that I get to be a part of that team. And the questions that they're willing to ask sometimes are tough questions. And just to look at where we really are. So that's what we're going to start with. Where are things really? Where are we at? So I have a PowerPoint thing I'm supposed to grab. And yesterday I was up here practicing and the button wouldn't go forward at all. And then I realized I was holding the PowerPoint upside down. So hey, that worked. All right, good. All right. Key learnings, things we've been talking about. What are our spaces like? What do we need in spaces? On our Arlington campus, we're parking in the grass and running out of room in our service and parking. I mean, that's a big question. On this campus, we ask questions about what are our spaces look like? Are they rightly designed? Are they designed to for people that are new and from the community? If you were new here and you hadn't been here a long time, what would you see when you came in? And all those kind of questions. And we've said, hey, we have some needs in our spaces. We need to look at our space here, our Arlington space. We need more space there. The second thing we've looked at is a changing community. Arlington is growing, and so that matters. We're going to go, how do we reach these new families that are moving into that area? But we know that here in Cordova, things have changed, right? In the last 15, 20 years, I mean, it's been quite a change in this area. And part of our story is that we have been, in the past, a church that was really networked and connected in the neighborhood. We had a ton of people that coached ball teams in Cordova, and we're part of the schools, and we just had a real network and fabric, and that was kind of how we did ministry. But over the years, that really changed. As the schools changed, most of the families that we have actually have moved to different neighborhoods around in different communities. And so we went from what was a kind of neighborhood church to a regional church in just a few years, and that actually impacts you. And so we've been asking the question, well, what do we do about that? We see all kinds of examples of churches around the area who are just empty shells. It's no longer a church building, and they sold it to something else because they weren't asking the question, well, as the community changes, how do we reach the people in our community? And so our elders have done a deep dive into that. And the third one is that as we look and we kind of chart how things, you know, who all is part of our church, and we're an aging congregation. This is kind of a, you know, these are slow things, but we've been aging. Over time, over the last several years, we've watched, and the group that kind of was here, and the founders, and that group that really, the exciting part, that group has continued to be one of our strong groups. But we've had to ask the question, well, what do we do about that? Because our goal is to be a multi-generational church. Now, don't get me wrong. We have a growing and thriving student ministry. It's incredible. We have unbelievable kids ministry team and so many kids. And so there are young families that are showing up every week. We have some wonderful young families that are here. And so those things are happening. But on the bigger picture, we have to ask the question, like, what do we do about these things? Our church actually has been on a slow decline in our numbers, the numbers the pastors look at, since about 2008. That was about the height of who we were as a church as far as our size. Now, it hasn't just dropped off the cliff. It's been a really slow decline. And here's the good news. The decline's so slow that I can serve here until I retire. We don't have to do anything, all right? So it'll be fine. So no problem. But that's not what we're here for. That's not what we're called to. That's not what I'm called to. We're called to a mission. We're here to be here on purpose and to be a part of God's mission in this community. So we're not okay with just saying, well, okay, slow decline. Now, there's good news in that too. Because we're a church that although we have some decline, we're a church that has always had this look like, how do we reach people that are far from God? And we've been a church that's always had this great energy and joy. And we have unbelievable people here that are full of energy and long to be on God's mission. So many of us here, I meet so many people, I'm just astounded at the gifts that you have, that you bring to this church. So we're a church with all kinds of potential and opportunity and a positive look at this community around us. And we're a church who God isn't done with yet. This is why I am just so excited to be here today and to walk through this stuff and to think and pray with you about what God's going to do next. Let me give you some questions that are programmatic questions that we've been asking just as our elders and stuff. One is, can visitors easily navigate your building? It's hard sometimes to put on the mindset of, if I'm new and I walked in, what would that look like? Would I be able to figure out what door to go into? The answer is probably not, right? There's a lot of doors. What do the spaces look like to that? Is that easy to find where kids ministry is and where student ministry is? The second question we've been asking, what's the story that you're telling without spoken words, right? When somebody new comes on the campus and they look around, what do they see? When I first got here, I saw lots of ceiling tiles that were leaking, you know, they had the leak, you know the look, right? But 4 years in, I don't see those babies anymore, right? I just walk right on past. They're still here, but I'm... But that's when you're new, that's what you see, right? That's what you see. And so we have to say, what is the story that we're telling without spoken words? The third one is, does your building encourage community? Where are the spaces where people are gathering and hanging out? What does that look like? The deep longing in our world right now is for actual connection. People don't know how to get it. But there's this deep longing, and it's something that we have. It's something that we're actually good at as a group of people. Can our spaces reflect that? And what might that look like? Does your kids' ministry area feel clean, safe, recently updated, right? When you walk to kids' men, when you go to student ministry, you know, parents might come to church because they're like, hey, our kids are pagan. We need to get them saved, you know, and they show up. But I know how I have some. But you show up for that. But if the space doesn't look like, hey, this is a place that was ready and expecting your kids, that was designed purposefully for your kids to be here, and if it's not clean, safe, and fun, I don't care how incredible the program was, they're not going to come back, right? And so so we have to ask, we ask these questions. And then we ask programmatic questions, right? Questions like, what parts of our ministry are actually growing and thriving? Do you know there's a ton of ministry that we're doing that's growing and thriving and exciting? And I think about all the work that we're doing in students and kids. I think about some of the things that have gone on our Arlington campus. You know, that campus has actually turned around, and over the last couple of years, we've seen over an 80% growth on that campus. It's become much more multi-generational. It's not no longer we would call that an aging campus. And I mean, just exciting to see that happen. So what parts of ministry are really growing? And there's so much going on this campus where people are really thriving and growing in the way that we're serving the community around us. And so we want to say, hey, what are we doing there? And let's keep doing that. Let's do it even more so. The second question we ask is this: well, then what do we need to change to reach the people who are not here yet? Right? And that's especially true for those who have moved to Cordova in the last 15 years. How do we reach people that have moved to Cordova in the last 15 years? We're doing a great job. We're going to have Easter egg hunt coming up pretty soon, and there'll be almost 1,000 people on this campus, people from the neighborhood and the community. And we get to say hi and love on them. It's really, really fun and really incredible. But we've kind of lost the connection where we've been able to grab those folks and get them to be part of our church, to invite them on this journey of faith that we're on together and be part of our church family. And we so long for that. And so we're asking the questions like, well, then what do we do differently, right? How do we do that in a different way that actually works, because that's part of our mission to reach this community? And the third is, are we equipping our congregation to reach people in their own neighborhoods? So many of us have moved to different neighborhoods around the community. And so how do we equip everyone to be the church in their neighborhood and actually reach your friends and neighbors, the folks that you do life with every day, with you're coaching along the sidelines, or you're in the PTO with them, you see them as you walk down the block? How are we equipping everybody to be able to reach the people around them? These are the questions that we've been asking. And we've been very, very honest with ourselves as a church. And I want you to ask those questions. I want you to think from this perspective. And then I want you to know that God has a way forward for us. And a way for us to join together and to say, let's address these things. Let's actually walk together with them. Let's join together and make an impact. It's a really cool moment for us as a church. This is the passage that just keeps coming up to me. This is the foundation of the church, sort of the inaugural passage of the church. And the church was being sent to be the church in Acts, and reminded of who they were. And this is what it says: but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And I want to remind you that the church is a Holy Spirit people. Like, that's who we are. The church is the church because we're a group of people that are filled with the Spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit at work in us and through us that has all the impact, any impact that we have as a community. And it's the Holy Spirit through us that connects us to each other and pushes us forward. The scripture talks about spurring one another on towards love and good deeds. And that's what we do as a church, because we're the people that are full of the Spirit. this morning I was in Arlington and we were singing and worshiping and people were raising their hands and I was just reminded how powerful that is. And I walked into this room and we're singing and worshiping, raising hands, and we're reminded that we meet with this holy God. It was a few months ago that I was at a thing that our student ministry was doing, and it was just a packed house over in student ministry, and parents were invited and I was there, and kids were leading us in worship. And it was awesome. It was just awesome. They were just lost in worship and connection with God, and they were singing and leading us, and it was so powerful. And I was just standing there, and I was just blown away. I got kind of emotional about it, and then I started to think, you know, that was the fourth band that had led worship in one of our services that day, right? A couple on this campus, on Arlington campus. It was the fifth worship service that had happened that day. That's like a normal week for us. So many people just leading in worship and helping us connect with God. And then I think about all the impact that we have as we're serving, you know, we're serving the community around and passing out food and things like that. And you can like see the Holy Spirit show up in those places where we're helping the lost and the least, and we're just helping each other. And I just, man, it's just powerful to think about the way that God uses this church and continues to use us. We're people of the Holy Spirit. But now here's the scary part, okay? I'm gonna give you the scary part too. It's all right. It starts off okay. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem. They were from Jerusalem. That was home. They knew Jerusalem. That was easy, right? They're connected. It's no problem. He basically saying, keep doing what you're doing. Just keep the things that are going well, you know, go. Press the gas. Move forward. But then he goes, and in all Judea. Now that's further. They didn't like Judea. That's a distance. That's out there. That's like where, you know, God, where are you taking us, right? That gets a little bit scary. The third one is really though, what do you do with that? And in Samaria, here's the problem with Samaria. It wasn't further away. It was closer. But the Samaritans were a different group of people. They had a whole different set of values. They saw the world in a different way. They were culturally different, and they didn't understand them. You see, that was scary. When he said, you're gonna be the witnesses to Jerusalem, okay, I get that. But Samaria? Can we do that? Is that even possible? And the call of Scripture is, yeah, not just is it possible, it's your job, but your Holy Spirit people. And then he just goes and expands the whole thing. Just the impact will be beyond what you can imagine. He goes to the end of the earth. The things that we do now, the journey that we jump into now has an impact not only on us and our family right now, but on generation after generation, on neighbors and friends and community, a generation beyond. I mean, the impact is massive. We get to be a part of this kind of a church. So this is what I want to invite you on. We're calling it the adventure. And the idea is this. God has an adventure in front of us as a church. You know, we're going to talk about this. We're going to kind of jump in for the next 3 years. And as we wrap that up, we'll be right at the 50-year mark as a church. 50 years. And I think about the adventure of that first 50 years, you know. I think all the impact that this church has had, just think for a second of all the lives that have been changed. And just unbelievable, some of the stories of what God has done. And the question is, well, is God done with us? Or what's the next 50 years look like? Or I like what Dave Sheever was saying, 150 years, right? Just 150. I'm not that good at math, so I just stuck with 50. That's easy. 50 past, we got 50 forward, but 150, right? The big picture. Now, all business guys in the room are going, Kaz, you can't have a 50-year plan, right? Like, that's not a thing. We don't do 50-year plans, right? I get that. We've got a 2 to 3 year plan. But what we're asking now is this: what do we do now? What steps do we take now that would set us up for 50 years of thriving ministry in the future? Because the direction we start, we have this opportunity. It's a critical moment. And we have this opportunity to step in a direction that would impact not just you, not just your family, but your kids and your kids' kids. Right? And you get to be a part of that. Now, I don't know if you can see the background of that. This is a picture that we used in the video as well. But this is that picture of a group that was right at the beginning. was the first building we built. It's still part, it's been swallowed up by additions that have gone just all around. But that little bit of the building is way back over there somewhere. And so a group of people walked in the rain, you know, down from Auburndale School, and they walked down here to kind of launch and to start. And you heard Dave say, you know, not enough people, and also it was just raining, and I don't know what, if that felt like a party, I'm not sure. But I love this picture, because I look at that little group of people, and I recognize they have no idea what God's about to do with them. They have no idea the impact that God's about to have, because they were willing to stand there and go, okay, you know, Dave knocked on my door. I guess I'll go do, you know, whatever, let's do it. And they showed up, and there they stand. No clue how God's going to use them. And yet, look what God has done. They were willing to step forward in an adventure. They were willing to say, all right, we'll do the risk. All right, we will take the step. We'll go forward. Now, I'm going to walk you through the practical part of this, all right? And I've taken my glasses off, so I can't even see the timer on the back wall, so we're good to go. I hear lunch is going to be good, though, so we'll get there. All right. How do we respond? I want to walk you through four different things that we're going to do to respond. The first is our Arlington campus needs to be expanded for the next 50 years. The second is that our Cordova campus needs to be updated, refreshed, ready for a new group of people to become part of this, to set us up for the next 50 years. The third is we need to re-figure out how to reach this community. We need to re-ask the question, what does it look like if we plant a church for Cordova? And so a new worship gathering targeting Cordova for the next 50 years. And then the fourth thing is a new outreach. Where's God going to take us next? What's that Judea look like for the next 50 years? I'm going to walk you through each one at a time. We'll talk about it a little bit. The first, the Arlington campus expanded. We can do one more building on that property. We already had to go to two services this year. That's an awesome thing. But we need more space. We're not going to continue growing. We're not going to reach that community if we can't find a way to build more space. And so we can do one more building, and that'll be a building that would be a multi-purpose type building. We gather for worship, but you can clear the chairs and play pickleball and have a kids program and things like that. That could seat about 300 people. It's a critical thing for us to do on that campus in order to say, hey, we're here for the community, we're going to reach people, and to be able to continue to grow. We're at capacity already. And so it might look something like this. These are some drawings. Oh, I'm going to show you this. First thing is this. We said, hey, we got to start this process already. So over the last couple of years, we've actually started to make changes on the Arlington campus. Part of the vision that we've had is to say, how do we really double down and reach that community? And so one of the things we took, some of you are familiar with the Arlington campus, and you know there was a back room that looked like a 1950s church basement. Anybody been in that? Smelled like a basement, too. I don't know how. And we actually took that, an unbelievable team of folks, and totally remodeled that and made the main entrance to come right through there. So it's this welcoming space, so the visitor knows where to come in. There are flags everywhere and stuff. You know where to check your kids in, and you know where to come in, and you're greeted. And this is what that space looks like. That old church basement deal now looks like that. It looks like this on there. And that's just first step, right? So now we have to say, all right, we got to make our campus that with that kind of environment and that kind of a look and feel. And so what we'll do is we'll build a facility there. It won't be massive, but about 300 seats, maybe a little bit more, mostly just a lobby, because we care about welcome and worship. And then we'll use every other square inch that we already have built. We'll use the facility that's already there and the sanctuary that's already there and our kids, PDO that's already there. And we'll use every square inch of that of already built out space. But this is kind of a thing we can build. Well, it'll have a lobby. There's a map here. Don't squint and look too hard. It's okay. When you go out of here today, you're going to get a booklet, and it's going to have pictures and all that. They're real tiny, so you need a magnifying glass even on that, but that's all right. Maybe you can see it a little bit, but I just wanted you to see that basically it's just a square, right? Like it's just a space that we can use for all kinds of things. It's worship area and it's lobbies, and that's pretty much what we would build on that campus. But that's going to open the door and unlock potential for us to actually reach this growing community. New families are moving in there every day. We have new people showing up for worship every day. Even a new family was there today, and I was like, guess what? We're starting something, you know. And it's okay. They had to be part of the family meeting. It worked out. The second thing is the Cordova campus needs some updates for the next 50 years. Today, when you go home, you will be given the gift of some red material still on the backside of your clothes because these chairs are deteriorating so fast, right? You just know, if you wore white pants, it's all over. Yeah, sorry. We've got to kind of go through and say, hey, are our spaces welcoming and inviting? When's the last time we updated our bathrooms? I had some meetings with some folks earlier, and we were trying to decide when the last time was, and they said recently. And then we got to it, and we're like, 15 years ago. And I'm like, I don't think. We got a youth and kids spaces that just are attractive to families. They're coming here, and it's just time. It's time for us to do some of that. This worship room needs some updates, and our lobbies and hallways are welcoming spaces. That's the big one that we're going to focus on. Where would a visitor come in, and how do we make them feel welcome? So I'll give you just a couple pictures. This would be. These are just ideas, renderings that we've had, but this would be those ribbon windows that are out there on our lobby, because the most obvious entrance, if you're a guest, isn't this one up here, right? It's this one out here on Germantown Parkway. And so we want to create a welcoming space when you walk in. I don't know how well you can see that, but some of you need to dress a little cooler. That'll be part of the... No. This would be Lindsay Hall, and this would be from inside Lindsay Hall looking out to those ribbon windows, and they've put like glass in here, but basically opening up that hall so that you can see in. Actually, the bathrooms and kitchen would connect on the back side of that. You can see through into the sanctuary with some glass. It's just creating spaces where people feel welcome and open and connected, and for us to connect with each other. Still provides us the opportunity to do the things we do in Lindsay Hall, but really opening up and creating big lobby welcoming spaces. Just another look at what this might look like. Let me keep us going. The third one is a new worship gathering targeting Cordova for the next 50 years. In 1978, we said, what would it look like if we planted a church for Cordova today? And that's a church that we planted. But Cordova is a new place. New people live here. And there's all kinds of people. It's a really incredible town. And so we have to ask the question again, right? What does that look like today? If we were to plant a church for Cordova today. And so here's what we're going to do. We're going to create the space to start something new. But to do that, we're not going to change our 9/11. We're just going to keep going forward with how we do our 9/11. So some of you got nervous real fast. We just keep going forward. We have learned how to do multi-site. And so the opportunity that we have is to say, well, what if we started something that was like a new campus, except it didn't meet somewhere else. It was a new campus that met right here on this campus, a campus within a campus. Cammie said, that's the most confusing thing you've ever, I don't understand what you're, so I'll try something else. What if we were to start a new church for Cordova today? Like, what would that look like? And how do we go about that? And yet, that new church doesn't have to be out there all on their own. They're still part of our church. We're still connected and integrated. We have relational connection, and we do it with staff connection and togetherness, and we're all on the same team, and we even do small groups together and kids men together. But we have the opportunity to reach new people in new ways, and we give the opportunity for us to lead in that and to even to experiment in that. And so our elders said, let's try it, right? Let's go after that. And so we've already started movement on that. Ricky Peterson, God sent Ricky Peterson to us, and so he's come on staff just starting right now in a part-time way, and yet we're going to grow in that, and to help us to start to lead this, to develop teams that, that start to ask the question, how do we reach people in this community? To start to get to know people that that are part of our basketball league and, you know, other our Riverwood, you know, families and things like that, and start to rebuild. How do we impact this community? And to develop a team, and then eventually over time, that'll become a worship service and just kind of grow into its own even campus. And I am excited to see what God does. We're going to call that the bridge, and you're going to start to see stuff coming about the bridge. And this is exciting. It's an opportunity for us to ask that question. How do we reach that this neighborhood? How do we invest right here in Cordova where God has put us, and to do it in an effective way? I know you have all kinds of questions. So the good news is we're going to have Q&A times in the next few weeks, all right? And so we'll talk about the implications of that. But for right now, I just want you to be excited about this. I want you to start to pray about this. How's God going to use us to be missionaries to this neighborhood and this community? And then the fourth question is this, a new outreach for the next 50 years. And the question goes like this: what's the next campus that God wants us to plant? We say we're to do three things as a church, right? We're to reach people that are far from God and introduce them to Jesus. The second thing we're to do as a church is we're to build each other up, and we're to be built in our discipleship and our relationship with God. So we reach and we build. The third thing we're called to do is equip everyone to do ministry. And that means ministering to your neighbors, your friends and your neighbors, the people that you do life with. And one of the things that's really hard for us is as we become a regional church and people are driving in, we've lost some effectiveness on the reaching our friends and neighbors thing. And so we're asking that question: what are the ways that we can help everyone feel like they can reach their friends and neighbors, and how do we do that? And one of the things that we've started to pray about as a church is, well, we have little pockets of people that are already kind of established in other neighborhoods or other suburbs. And so we're saying, okay, God, what's the next campus? So we can be effective at reaching that neighborhood and that community. You've already put some of our missionaries out there. How do we get effective at helping them reach their friends and their neighbors? And so what does that look like? Where would God send us next? And this is the thing we're praying about. Now, it's the last thing on the list. It's coming down the road, but we got to start now. We got to start now preparing ourselves for that, because God's not done with us. God is not done with us. We're not off mission yet. We don't get to just say, well, you know, it's all over. It'll be fine. I got a picture here for you, but that's just a picture from our one day. Just imagining, what's the next thing? What's the next thing? There's a cost to do these things, right? To step in and do this together. And we believe that this costs about $4 million. That's what this vision looks like. It's about a $4 million vision. And a couple just pieces of what that is. Arlington, to build a new worship space and lobby space, it's going to be about $2 million to make that happen. Our Cordova campus, to remodel it and to put together a new worship gathering, that's about $1.5 million. Some of that is just potholes, man. You guys, you've seen the potholes out there? Okay. Some of what that is. And third, to launch a new campus in the future. We just know from all these other campuses that are launched and all the statistics out there, it costs about $500,000 for a campus to be launched and to make it to sustainability. That's about $4 million. $4 million seems like a ton. Like, oh, goodness. But that's actually a very realistic number for us, believe it or not. That's something that we can do. And it will open the door for us for 50 years down the road to say, hey, we're going to go in the right direction. We're going to run the direction that God is calling us. Our church, our annual giving is right around $1.7 million. Now, hey, that's good news, guys. That's an uptick this year. We said, hey, we got to make sure that we're doing the ministry that God's called us to do. And everybody was so generous and gave. And so we moved that up about 2% this year. And I'm just... I'm excited about that. Our Arlington campus has done well with that. I mean, that's a really exciting thing. What we're told from experts around the country, all these kind of campaigns that happen, is that over 3 years, so we're talking about a three-year campaign, would start now, go for the next 3 years. That in 3 years, we're talking about now giving, that's not our, just our tithe and offering, but this is on top of our tithe and offering, that a church can raise 2 to 3 times their annual income in a three-year campaign, right? So $4 million puts us right in that range. Somebody that's good with math, do that, you'll figure it out. 1.7. We can raise 2 to 3 times. So that's actually realistic. I want to tell you something else. So I was able to talk with a lot of our leadership. Our staff have been already doing their pledges, and you'd be so proud of our staff, man. And they're in on this. And our elders and our trustees have been, you know, turning in pledges already. And so right now, just a little tip of the iceberg, just so that I could tell you about it, we have about 35 people that have already pledged, just 35. And we're already right at $1 million. We're already right at $1 million. That's amazing, right? That's something you go, whoa, what's God gonna do? And that means we can do this. And now it's not easy. We gotta all be in. Everybody has to be a part of it. I told one of my kids they don't get to go to college. You know, we're just gonna. All right, we're gonna let them go. But it's real. My family believes in this mission, and so we're in. And we can do this together. It's going to be a thing where we have to be 100% in. That's what our goal, 100% engagement. That's time, talent, and treasure. That's not just giving, but giving is a part of this, right? But to be all in, we need 100% engagement. That's our primary goal. And our secondary goal is that we would be able to give $4 million over 3 years. I want you to see just this other little bit. Poor Dave, we came up and made him film for like an hour, and you only saw like 5 minutes. So I want you to see just another little part of that time I had with Dave.
You know, we're getting ready as we jump into this. We're talking about the vision of what's next. And part of that is a capital campaign. And I was able to talk with some of our leadership about this capital campaign ahead of time and say, hey, let's be part of this as we lean into this vision. And I noticed that you and Linda already started. You did your pledge already. You're
I turned
all in.
It into a 4-year campaign.
I love it.
So I could give more.
Yeah, this is awesome. And my question is, why? You know, you've already given your whole life in ministry here, and you really have. And you've retired. You're done. You did an incredible job. Why not just be done? Why did you and Linda decide to jump in on this campaign?
Oh, this is where our heart is. First of all, I want to thank you for letting me even hang around.
Oh, my goodness.
ministers aren't supposed to do that.
Oh, so, it's beautiful. I just love that.
I thank you, and I thank you for trusting me not to butt into it. But I think the next 50 years will be equally exciting.
Yeah.
Whether it's all happening here or different places, and this remains here, I hope that'd be great.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
That's my hope.
I just love it, Dave, and I love that that you gave so many years of ministry. You spent so long knocking on every door, teaching people about Jesus, and we say the knock on door thing, but all the creative ministry that this church has had over the years, and just the heart for outreach, the willingness to take a risk.
That's the word.
Yeah.
This church has always taken a risk.
Yeah.
And I know this is a risk.
It's a little bit of a risk.
To move out and say, well, we're going to do it again.
Yeah, we're going to do it again. We're going to be on mission. And that feels a little risky. It's not just doing the same old thing, but we got new people to reach, more people to reach.
And this church is just not the people that built it.
Right.
It's the people that are here now that have to buy ownership into it.
Yeah, everybody.
And this campaign will help.
Yeah, it's got to be all in. And I love it that you and Linda are all in. Cammie and I we're already in. This is everybody. Because we believe what God's doing here.
Everybody's got to take a piece of this responsibility for God's kingdom here.
Yeah. Well, I just love that we have this opportunity. I thank you so much for what you've invested. But what I love about it is you haven't just invested and said, okay, I'm done, I'm out. But you're like, no, God's still at work. We're in. We're doing this, and I got some more doors for you to knock on. You know,
uh-oh.
So that's good. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you, Cass. I appreciate it. Man. I'm so glad you're here.
Oh man, glad you're here.
This is, yeah. This is a critical moment for us, guys. I keep going back to that picture. God's got something incredible in store, and it's actually something we can do. We can do it. You have all kind of questions and, you know, things like that. We got time to talk about it. The next 6 weeks, we'll do this series called The Adventurer. You guys are in groups. Those small groups that you're doing, that's really about how do we live on mission in our own life. It's not like, hey, this is all part of a campaign. But over the next 6 weeks, we're going to talk about how God takes us on mission as a church. And then in our groups, we'll talk about how God takes us in mission on life. But I stand here today, I'm emotional because I'm so thankful for the 50 years that's gone by, and just the church that we are. I'm so thankful for what God has done, and I'm so excited about what God has in store in the future. You know, I'm gonna pray for us, and then we're gonna take communion together. And then when we leave here, we're gonna go eat. And I want you just to share stories of God's impact and share stories about things that you're excited about and talk about how God is giving you a picture, a dream for who we might reach and who we might become as a church and what this church might look like, not one generation away, but two and three generations down the road. Let me pray for us and we'll do communion together. God, we give you thanks. This is a day of just thanks, excitement, and celebration. God, I look out here and see friends, people that I love and that love me. And I'm so grateful to get to be a part of this body and this church. And God, we want to be a part of something special together that you're doing. So would you, God, would you help us? Would you move us? This doesn't work if it's not about your Holy Spirit. So God, would you help us to be people of your Spirit and to take the risks that you call us to take? And would you help us to run, I mean sprint, in the direction that you call us? We pray all of this in your holy name. Amen.